You're listening to The Point. We're talking about celiac disease and gluten sensitivity with Anne Sarkeesian, author of Toxic Staple, How Gluten May Be Wrecking Your Health and What You Can Do About It. She also suffers from gluten sensitivity. Also, we have with us Dr. Alessio Fasano, founder of the Center for Celiac Research and Treatment. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number for your comments or questions. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeendislands.org. And before we bring on Pat, our registered dietitian, we've got a couple people already on the line. Kevin is giving us a call from Orleans. Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, good morning. Thanks. Yeah, I was wondering, is there any evidence that sprouted wheat is better tolerated by people with gluten insensitivity, the sprouted wheat products?
I wouldn't touch it.
I don't think that we have any data whatsoever, because for what we understand, sprouted wheat, they still have gluten in there, and therefore, by default, it should not be okay to be ingested.
Yeah. I have a question following up on that. Are there varying degrees of sensitivity? I mean, are there some people who can tolerate some small amounts of wheat, or is it if you're gluten sensitive, you're gluten sensitive to any amount?
Again, with this disclaimer that we're still in the early stage of understanding the entire, horizon of gluten sensitivity, contrary to celiac disease, in which it's all or none. Mm-hmm. So in other words, even a crumb could put you over the edge. Right. For gluten sensitivity, it seems that there are different degrees of threshold. So in other words, there are people with gluten sensitivity, like celiac disease, cannot tolerate anything at all.
Gotcha.
And some people that can eventually have no problem with cross-contamination and everything in between. But again, I mean, you know, with the understanding that we don't have a way to a metric, so it's really to determine that it's still a work in progress, that aspect as well.
Right. Kevin, thanks for the question. Greg is calling from Nantucket. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
It occurs to me that the big confounding variable here is the bad American diet in the first place. The idea that you can just try to eat gluten-free for a couple of weeks and see if you feel better, I would argue that most people would, because if you stop eating gluten for a couple of weeks, you're stopped eating processed junk food, high carbohydrate, high refined sugar diet, and most people are going to feel better. Mm-hmm. I think that's in some ways behind the seeming sadness of this diet being much more popular than the actual incidence of gluten sensitivity or celiac disease.
Anybody want to comment on that? I'm going to bring Pat Vasconcellos into the conversation, our registered dietitian. Pat, this is something you talk about all the time, is eating more whole foods. And this is aside from the gluten issue I'm talking about.
Exactly. Hi, Mindy. Thanks for having me. Well, that's what the caller just now, not all products that contain gluten are unhealthy for you and create and have all these symptoms that the doctor and Anne Sarkeesian is talking about. So, When the caller was saying that our unhealthy diet, some of our processed foods are, quick-to-go foods are unhealthy. These are the products that maybe we want to eliminate. But whether this person has gluten sensitivity or celiac disease,
that's going to impact them differently
exactly.
than with somebody who does not.
Exactly.
Right? And did you want to chime in there? I thought I heard you say something.
Well, I may have lost my train of thought. I think the fad, anybody that responds to taking gluten out of their diet just for a few weeks or a month, if they start to lose weight, if their headaches are gone, if they have more energy, and other kind of simple symptoms like that, I think my opinion would be that they probably are gluten sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's obviously something going on, right? I mean, if you're listening to your body, right?
Yeah, but what Greg said has some element of truth in very, defined way. In other words, of course, if I am the individual that eats totally unhealthy, only processed foods, only fast food and junk foods, and you embrace a gluten-free diet that, eliminate those kind of, harmful food, of course you feel better. But it's too easy to just to make this as a generalization. Mm-hmm. As Anne and Pat both, mentioned, when you take gluten out of your diet and you have a chronic condition that it goes way beyond just don't feel well, And you see, you know, an improvement that is, you know, undisputable, that, you know, gluten the culprit. I have another, you know, I'm very vocal and adamant about this. While, again, in all honesty, I can't dispute that there is a fat element in the gluten-free diet, I'm very upset when people, they really make this as a generalization. Mm-hmm. You know, gluten for people with celiac disease and for some extent for gluten sensitivity, it's like, you know, insulin for diabetics. Mm-hmm. Just because we don't have a drug, but we have a diet, we can't disregard this as, or, you know, a fat diet. This is the only way that these people can live a better life.
Right.
And, you know, there's undisputable evidence, at least for celiac disease, that that is the cornerstone treatment of an autoimmune disease. It's the only autoimmune disease for which we know the trigger. We don't know why people come down with, you know, MS or rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes. And this condition is teaching us so much, including the fact that if you eliminate the environmental trigger, you know, the autoimmune process can be stopped and reverted. So calling this a fat diet, it's something that is really a generalization and, I believe, very superficial judgment.
Let me ask you a question about that.
Still I just on the call?
Yeah, let me just jump in here for a second. Dr. Pisano, there are some people who do not have, you know, gluten sensitivity, do not have celiac disease, but believe that humans should not be eating gluten. So Can you talk about that? I mean, what are the benefits for us who do not have gluten sensitivity to eating gluten?
I want to make two statements here. One, that gluten, nutritionally speaking, is a useless protein. It doesn't really do anything to us. As a matter of fact, humankind, for its 2.5 million years of evolution, has been 99.99% gluten-free. So gluten came just, you know, in the last second of human evolution, 10,000 years ago. So we did not evolve to deal with gluten. It's nutritionally useless. And therefore, you know, it's not a big deal. Said that, though, all of us, we still jump on the trees and been living in a jungle if we didn't have the agriculture revolution that was really due to grains, including gluten, that allow us really to spend most of our activity in creative, activities rather than food procurement, as happened before agriculture. Now, you know, is gluten not handled right by everybody? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is gluten cannot be digested completely by everybody? No question about that. Does everybody that got gluten got sick? No.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's the case? Well, let me make this as a parallel, because gluten, at least some pieces of it, are treated by immune system like enemies, like we treat bacteria. We all are surrounded by bacteria, bad and good bacteria. Very few of us will come down with an infection. Why? Because the vast majority, despite that we are bombarded by this, you know, potential, you know, harmful enemies of bacteria, the immune system cleans the mess most of the time. Mm-hmm. A few times we come down with infections. Same story with gluten. Gluten is not, you know, handled correctly by anybody, induce an immune response to anybody, but very few this immune response translate in clinical outcome. Now, again, that's the reason why I think that say that everybody needs to go gluten-free, otherwise the human species will be extinct, I believe this is a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been exposed to gluten for 10,000 years, and we see the consequences. They are undisputable now.
Okay.
That is undisputed to go beyond celiac disease.
Right.
But going from there and to say that everybody has to go gluten-free, I believe that it would be a little bit of a stretch.
Okay. Greg, did you want to chime in one more time?
I was just going to point out that I wasn't necessarily referring to a gluten-free diet as being a fad diet for those with documented celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
Your guests might be able to tell us more precisely, but the incidence of celiac disease, true documented celiac disease, is not that high, whereas the incidence of turning on a popular daytime talk show and seeing some B-list celebrity talking about how their life changed by cutting out gluten would make you think that 98% of the U.S. population had celiac disease.
Yeah.
And so that's the fat issue that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And then talking about gluten and our bodies over time with evolution in the last 10,000 years since we've perfected modern agriculture, and what has that done for us? Well, I mean, I think most people would say that we're generally healthier than we were 10,000 years. Certainly, we have a longer life expectancy, and so modern agriculture with our amazingly adaptive bodies in handling this new protein source has done okay with gluten. It's just that now there are some other processes going on that a small percentage of us are gradually getting more sensitive.
But, right, Greg, thanks for the phone call. Let me ask you about that, Dr. Fasano. What is the percentage? I know that we've seen more and more cases diagnosed over the last 50 years or so. Where are we at? What is it, about 10% of the population? What is the number?
Well, Greg is right in some aspect of his statements because, of course, you know, if celebrities will let believe people that 95% of people will be sick if they eat gluten, of course, this is a stretch of what is the reality of the story. The numbers are indisputable for celiac disease and with allergy. With allergy, we're talking about 0.055% of the general population. Celiac disease, we're talking about 1%, but it's on a rise, so it's increasing. So it's not a huge number, but, you know, for a genetically determined, you know, condition, it is big deal if you compare it to other conditions like Alzheimer's, diabetes, MS. It's much more frequent than those other conditions. Now, what is the unknown, and therefore put a question mark how many people they may benefit in gluten-free diet, is the gluten sensitivity.
Right.
Because we don't have a diagnostic tool, we don't know exactly what is the epidemics or the epidemiological data of gluten sensitivity. We had some estimates. We in our center estimate roughly 6% of the general population may have gluten sensitivity. So we're talking about all combined between 8 to 10%. That honestly is not the trivial number.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let me,
Mindy,
go ahead. Ann.
Other doctors suggest that 30% and 40% may be gluten sensitive.
Yeah. And well, as you're saying, Dr. Fasano, this is something we can't know until we get a better handle on how to diagnose the sensitivity issue, right? I mean, we don't really know. It could be 30%. It could be any number between that 10 and 30.
Okay. Well, you know, there are people that insisted that it's 0.3%. Mm-hmm. There are Dr. Green, for example, from New York, that has done a study and published that it's a negligible number. Mm. There are people that they said it's even more than 40%.
Wow.
But again, these are, you know, educated guess,
yeah,
and not precise numbers. Until we don't have a precise way to diagnose gluten sensitivity, we can only guess.
Right. So, mm-hmm. Pat, foregoing gluten is easier than it was 5 or 10 years ago, but still it's a major lifestyle change. So for people with celiac who have to go gluten-free, what are some nutritional and lifestyle steps that you recommend to get started?
Okay. So, Mindy, when my patients come in to see me, they have all the symptoms that were just talked about, fatigue, abdominal cramping, you know, headaches, things like that. So if they're diagnosed and they're tested and they're positive for celiac disease, number one, when they come in, I try to give them hope, positive, because everybody's overwhelmed with the diagnosis and what am I going to eat? How do I do this? So number one, they have to accept the diagnosis. Like the doctor was saying, with the celiac disease, it's not just a little bit. The treatment right now is avoidance of gluten.
Completely.
So you can't just be a little pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So now, number two, when they come in, and you always refer them to a dietitian that has knows about the gluten-free.
Some experience.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that you want to teach them about foods that contain gluten. And then also really important is how to read the food label. Okay. And where are other sources, not just gluten, wheat, rye, barley, whatever, but hidden sources that may contain gluten. Now, another thing that when they come in to see me, I will also see, because a lot of times they are afraid to go out.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to go out
eat
to dine.
Dinner, right.
Yeah. Going out to restaurants. I try to hook them up with support groups within the area. Also, when they're going out for dinner, because you can have a normal life, focus on foods that you can eat. Like if you're talking about, gluten-free diet is healthy. Focus on whole foods, fruits, vegetables, lean meats.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely grains that you can use, that you can bake with, and you can make products. There are more and more products in the market that contain gluten-free.
And more that, some of that bread used to be like cardboard, but now some of that gluten-free bread is actually quite tasty. And I want to talk to you about the gluten-free kitchen, because for somebody who has celiac disease, that cross-contamination, you know, you need to get new rolling pins, colanders, anything that could have come in contact with gluten that can't be run through the dishwasher, you say should be replaced.
Yes.
So that's a big, that's
yes,
a lot.
You have to, it is, but it's not that bad. I have to say it took me a whole year to face what was in my little pantry cupboard. But I wouldn't use it if I didn't know mm-hmm. that it was gluten-free. But it took me a long time to clean that out. And you do have to be 100% careful. And it, you know, to be thankful that you know what the answer is and then move on with your life and face it a step at a time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little additives and things that, you know, you shouldn't have, but you can't accomplish that all in the first week. Just start with the big stuff and dwindle it down.
So, Anne, what about going out to eat? Pat just mentioned that. What is your advice for making sure your food is prepared gluten-free? What kind of questions do you ask? I mean, I'm sure you have to be a little bit worried about cross-contamination in the kitchen, in the restaurant.
Even in really fine restaurants, it is a concern. You know, we have several restaurants we like up in our neighborhood, and I just ask a lot of questions. And every now and then I get fooled. My husband ordered chicken wings the other night, and they were deep fried with everything else. And I didn't know that till after I bit into one. So, but I'm constantly on my toes. I wouldn't touch this stuff. It to me, and this may be a quote from Dr. Fasano, but gluten really is like poison to my family. And I don't think people should really think of it that way. But, I mean, it's destructive stuff. Mm-hmm. It can be.
Right. We're talking about celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeendislands.org. More after a quick break.